Hello and welcome to Transcendental Transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and today is Tuesday, October 25th, 2016. As always, we are coming live from the beautiful city of West Palm Beach in Florida. I hope all is well. It is a beautiful time here in Florida. The temperature has changed. It dropped. It is about highs of maybe 80 to 83 degrees each day. It is absolutely beautiful. You know, I love the heat. I do. Don't get me wrong. I love the summertime because, you know, the beaches are nice. The water in the ocean's a little bit warmer. And but, you know, there's something nice about this time, too. You know, it usually happens between maybe March and May of early in the year. And then, you know, October through maybe early December, that it's just like the Goldilocks of temperatures. It's just a beautiful, you know, 78 to 83 degrees. Nice. The wind is blowing. And I got to say, I have all my windows open in my whole house. I do not have the air conditioning running. The dog's loving it. I'm loving it. And it is just so nice. I don't even have to turn on the AC in my car. It is just beautiful out. So happy Samhain to those that celebrate Samhain. You know, as we know, most of us know it as Halloween nowadays, but it is actually Samhain. And Samhain is obviously on October 31st. So I'm excited. I don't know what you guys are doing, if you guys are planning any special parties or any special anything that's going on occasions. But let me know. Write to me. I always love to hear what you guys are up to. But if you guys are going out, especially the kids and stuff, make sure they're safe. You know, I haven't heard anything too much lately, but you never know. We're safety first, right? Well, if you guys have been following my social media, you know that, you know, we went to the USSSA World's Tournament in Orlando, and we played horribly. I can't say that enough. We played horribly. We got knocked out in the very first round. And you know, I was a big contribution to that playing horribly. My batting absolutely sucked. And you know me, I am all about softball, but I'm honest. And I think I only got like one or two hits out of all the times I got up to bat. And the two hits that I got were actually on errors on the outfield. Somebody missed both of my catches. But otherwise, I would have been like 0 for like 10 or 16, and that never happens. I don't know what's been going on. I've been trying the new batting stance and slow pitch, but my fielding was solid, so at least that was salvageable, right? I didn't miss anything that was hit to me, and man, these guys can hit. But it was a nice time in Orlando. I got to say, I got to room and bunk with a bunch of different people. We all rent houses, and you kind of live with your teammates for a few days, and it's really nice because Orlando is nice, and we got to play at the ESPN Worlds, I think it's World something in Orlando. It's the big ESPN complex in Disney World, but we had to fun, and you know, we're just gonna have to wait till next year. There's other tournaments coming around. I'm excited to be back in tournament ball. I guess I'm healthy enough. Maybe I was just putting too much pressure on myself. Maybe it was just one of those things. It was my first tournament back in a long time, and I think I just wanted to do really, really well. And you know, when you overthink things, what happens to us? So we gotta, like, maybe I'll just slow down a little bit. But I started playing racquetball a couple weeks, and I've been playing with my friend Becky, and I've been getting my butt beat in that too. Maybe it's just the energy of the universe right now. But I won the first game and lost the next four. We played a total of five or six games, and I've lost every single one of them. They've been hard hard to swallow. It really has. And but yeah, you know, it's not going to last for long. I tell you that. It's fun. I haven't played it in since high school. And if you never played racquetball, it is really fun, especially in an indoor court. It's a lot of cardio, a lot of exercise. You know, it gets you going. It gets to use your side muscles and everything, the sides of your legs and hips and everything like that. And so it really gives you a good body workout. So it's kind of fun. Next week, I want to tell you guys, usually I don't announce, shows until after the show is done, or sometimes not even at all. But we are having a really big show on Kratom. It's either going to be next week or the week after. Stay tuned to the social media for that. But for any of you that deal with stress or pain or high levels of anxiety or phobias or even addiction or energy problems or anything that goes on, you know, Kratom is a wonderful plant that has helped me in my life and has helped millions across the world. And as you know, if you know about Kratom, then you know that the DEA is trying to put a kibosh on it and schedule it as a Substance One drug, which it's not. And we're having a big thing. So I've reached out and I've contacted my sources, and we've got some really, really good and great guest coming on. The show is going to be very informative. We're going to have an activist that deals directly with Washington. We're going to have a scientist and a social worker that work directly with their patients and clients with Kratom. And, you know, it's all good stuff. So stay tuned for that. Last show, oh man, it was a good show, wasn't it? I really enjoyed last show because it was all about the perfectionist, the overworked, and the underappreciated. The perfectionist is always a goal that's unattainable, isn't it? It's always a goal that we're trying to reach that it's not attainable. But the perfectionist really believes in their mind that they can create this, that they can create perfection if they just give a little bit harder of a push, if they just keep going and they work themselves into exhaustion. And that creates so much chaos because they're unattainable goals. And even if we do manage to make small goals, it's never good enough. We're always on to the next one and on to the next one, because that's like the satisfaction that we're looking at. And you know, when we're not satisfied, we're always looking for the next project. And you know, a lot of you guys were surprised that when I said that the perfectionist actually had low self-esteem. But if you kind of think about it, if you listen to the show and you kind of think about it, you know, everyone kind of said, yeah, well, you know, I didn't think about that. But once you were talking about it and how it tied into each other, actually, absolutely, because if people with low self-esteem don't think that they're good enough. And a lot of what drives the perfectionist is that low self-esteem. I'm not good enough. Things need to be perfect. If I can do better, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, we gotta work on our lack of self-worth as well. It's a very tough time for the perfectionist, and that's why they're overworked and underappreciated. Because low self-esteem, no matter how many attaboys you get, how many pats on the back, it's never good enough. And the perfectionism is full of anxiety. You know, all these shows that we've done in the last couple, have you noticed that they're going to tie in? And tonight's show is no different. But the perfectionism is all about anxiety, sleepless nights, overthinking, people-pleasing, emotional states that just go on and on and on. And they're very reactive because they're sensitive to everything, because they're overworked, because they have high levels of anxiety, because they're not over, because they're oversleeping. And, you know, and the low self-esteem. So it was a really, really good show. I'm glad that you guys enjoyed it. If you missed it, it's in the archives or on the website, so go check it out. All right, tonight is a very exciting show. I am excited about this show because as we are putting together this show, it has to tie in from last week's show. It is all about stress, adrenal fatigue, and mental exhaustion. You know, so many of us have lives that are so full of stress, and because we're so stressed out, we often, you know, encounter some type of mental blockages or our mind just doesn't seem as sharp or as focused as it used to be. And what's funny about that is that when no matter how much many of us rest, I mean, we will sleep for 10, 12 hours sometimes, and that's oversleeping. But even a good 8-hour sleep, you know, no matter how much we rest, it just doesn't seem like it's ever enough. We wake up exhausted. We wake up constantly tired. As soon as we get up out of bed, we want to go right back to bed. And you know, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, well, I got a good 8 hours rest. I got even 10 hours rest. I slept really well. I went to bed, and it just doesn't seem like it's good enough. So tonight's show, I want you guys to think about the word deficiency, because stress, adrenal fatigue, and mental exhaustion is all about deficiency. And when we're looking at the stress and what it does to the body and what adrenal fatigue is and mental exhaustion, it is because of the deficiency. We cause and create the deficiency. If our lives are full of stress, of course we're going to have mental blockages. If our lives are full of stress, of course we're not going to sleep. And the funny thing is about it is we are a stressful society. We are always on the go. We, the United States of America, is all about demand. And I don't know how many times I have my friends call me and say, oh my God, I got to get this done. I'm freaking out. Or even my students or even people I just run into. Everyone freaks out about their job or their assignments or these projects that have to get done. And honestly, when we take a step back and we look at things, nothing is more important than your health. And we have to understand that the job is not more important than your health. The project, the school project, or whatever it is not more important. You must learn to put yourself first, because stress creates the idea of adrenal fatigue and mental exhaustion. And stress does a lot of damage to the body. We know that in today's world, in the information age, we know how bad stress is for ourselves. So in a stressful society, I want to tell you a little bit of statistics here. So in the United States, of July of 2016, so these are fresh, 77% of Americans have stress on a regular basis. 73% of Americans have psychological symptoms caused by stress. And 33% have extreme bouts of stress. That's to the extreme. I mean, those numbers are staggering. You're telling me that 77% of people in America are stressed out on a daily basis. And that doesn't mean that they experience stress here and there. I'm talking about every day they wake up stressed, every day they wake up worried, every day they wake up overworked, overtired, they wake up fatigued. They're always worrying about something. Their mind never shuts up. And 73% of Americans have psychological symptoms over that. This is a problem in America, people. This is a problem. And I can't speak for any other countries, but because I only live here, but this is a huge problem. Every time I go, no matter where I go, every time I go someplace, everybody is telling me, oh, I just got off work. Oh, I just worked a 13-hour shift. I just worked a 16-hour shift. Why? Why are we doing this? Oh, I can't stop because my child needs this. I can't stop because after work, I got to do this. No, people, we are going to learn to say no, because these numbers have to change. 77% of people deal with stress on a daily basis, and that's a constant, way too much. So what are the number one stressors in America? Well, if you said the number one stressor is job, or the number one and two is job and money, well, then you'd be absolutely correct, because the number one stressor is job. Number two is money, then our health, then relationships. And that kind of threw me as a surprise, because I actually thought that our relationships, people seem to care more about their relationships than they do about their health. And maybe that's just my perception of things, because that's what I deal with. But it really seems like people care more about their relationships than health. But yes, job, money, health, and relationships. In fact, that job and money alone make up 76% of the stress caused. And that's what I was saying. How much of us overwork ourselves? How much of us put together this idea that the job has to be number one? My boss is really on me. I need to do this. I need to get this done because I'm going to get fired. But how can we keep going if this is the type of idea that we're running? The mental stress into adrenal fatigue, we're going to end up sick. And that's why most Americans are sick. We are a sick country right now, and whether you like it or not, that is the fact. Most of us are overweight. Most of us are stressed. Most of us are tired on a daily basis. Most of us aren't healthy at all. We don't have a outlook that of growth and experience. We have an outlook of limitations for most of us. I mean, I could just tell by the way we talk, by the way you carry a conversation, I can tell whether or not you live a stressful life. Because what your choice of words and how you direct the conversation tells me. So health-wise, now that we understand the number one stressors, health-wise, we have, like psychological, we have that 51% of people experience fatigue due to stress. 50% of people deal with anger and irritability due to stress. 45% have low energy due to stress, and 53% deal with mental exhaustion due to stress. Do you see the problem, people? Do you see, just if I told you nothing more than what I'm going to explain to you in this show, if I told you nothing more, do you understand just in those numbers alone what the problem is and what which way our direction of our country is going? Our state of health mentally and physically is not well, and we need to change this. We need to be able to shift focus. We need to be able to put ourselves number one and lower these numbers, because if these numbers keep rising, we are going to be a very sick country. And you know what? The economy and everything will end up suffering, because if people can't work, if people are on disability, if people have all these things going on, well, you know what? How are things going to get done? And that's a big problem, isn't it? So what are the common symptoms of stress? Well, some of the major common symptoms of stress are acne, hair loss, sexual dysfunction, headaches, muscle tension, lack of concentration, fatigue, and irritability. So why do you think some of these things are happening? Well, stress, you know, does absolutely. I know a lot of people that lose their hair right away, sexual dysfunction. Anytime, remember what I said, anytime that we have stress, it automatically stops certain parts of the body. And we're going to get into what parts of the body are going on in a second. But remember, the key word for tonight is deficiency. So anything that we have, hair loss, sexual dysfunction, headaches, muscle tension, lack of concentration, fatigue, irritability, those are all signs of deficiency due to stress. So what is stress? Well, let's begin with the HPA. That's the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis. That is that basically is a system of a series of interactions of endocrine glands in the brain, between the endocrine glands in the brain and the kidneys. That's a series of interactions right there. The hypothalamus is the control reaction to stress. And we'll be right back after these messages.
With so many fads and gimmicks in today's world, it's crucial to understand the choices we make regarding what we ingest and apply to our bodies. KM Botanicals Custom Fusion Herbal Products help make those choices simple and smart. They use only the purest sourced ingredients that produce high-quality products your body will love. Their specialized custom blends are scientifically formulated to establish and maintain a healthy, radiant external as well as internal domain. KM Botanicals custom formulas are clinically developed by a licensed esthetician to suit your individual needs. Relish in the full line of therapeutic grade essential oils, or get creative and combine their high quality raw ingredients to create your own blends. With custom blends, KM Botanicals prides themselves on the promise that your products will be formulated and tailored just for you. Simply visit kmbotanicals.com to download your personal questionnaire and get started. That's kmbotanicals.com or call 954-281-5613 for more info. Give your body the healthy look it's been craving with KM Botanicals.
So, the HPA, the hypothalamus pituitary adrenal axis, is very important and plays a major role in stress, because if the hypothalamus is the control reaction to stress, then you understand that the hypothalamus talks to the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland then communicates to the adrenals. And then we have a release of cortisol depending on if a stressor happens. Anytime the body deems something as a stressor, cortisol is released. Cortisol is the active ingredient. Cortisone is not the active ingredient. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But cortisol can be a bad guy. And you know, when we have a series of communication issues due to our stress, that is one of the reasons why the brain has such an issue with it. So in the case of chronic stress, what happens is activity levels go up, right? And the numbers go up between the neural connections and the amygdala. If you remember last week and a couple weeks ago when we talked about anger and all that stuff and how the limbic system, how stressors deem going through the limbic system and then when it hits the amygdala, and that's the fear center. And what happens when we go into the limbic system and the amygdala, remember? Our sympathetic nervous system kicks in, i.e. the adrenals will then shoot out cortisol to handle stressors because the cortisol's main job is to handle stress. And so after what ends up happening is our cortex shuts down and we don't make rational decisions. This is why it is so hard for people to think. This is why it's so hard for people to have any logical base form. Because once the stressor is kicked in and the cortisol spikes, we are already in fight or flight symptom. It's gone to the amygdala. The neural connections are firing that way. And it's time to go because the body's saying, oh, my God, this is something I need to worry about. This is something I need to stress over. And, you know, I mean, if you think about it, a work project, it's not going to kill you, right? Nothing's going to happen. Even if you lose your job, you're not going to die. I mean, your life or death situations isn't. But because we have conditioned ourselves to say that our value of importance is based on a job or based on the schoolwork or based on this, we deem everything as a stressor. And the hypothalamus doesn't understand, you know, if something is more of a stressor than not. If, you know, it doesn't tell us, oh my God, okay, it's a hungry animal trying to get us, or oh, it's just a paper. It doesn't do that. It reacts to stress the way it does on anything. So if you have been conditioned to stress out about every little thing, well then your hypothalamus and this axis is going to go nuts. And especially your amygdala, it's going to keep triggering those neural connections in order to have a response of fear. The hippocampus is associated with learning. It's also associated with memory and stress control. So that the hippocampus in the brain deteriorates with stress. You got to understand that cortisol and stress really do a number on the brain. Remember, we're talking deficiency. I'm going to say that several times throughout the show, just so you remember deficiency. But it deteriorates with actual stress. And the reason why, it's because it's responsible for the control of the HPA axis. And so when stress happens, it weakens and it actually deteriorates with stress, it can no longer control the HPA. And what do you think happens when you can't control the HPA? Well, then we have an abundance of cortisol. We have all these things going on. We don't have control anymore. If our muscles weaken, let's just put it in muscle testing. If we're trying to hold something, if we build muscle, if we go to the gym and we build muscle and we try to open something, we can open it with ease, right? But once our muscle starts to weaken, it's harder to open something. It's harder to open the can because we don't have the muscle strength anymore. So that's exactly what happens. When we have an overabundance of cortisol due to chronic stress, the hippocampus starts to deteriorate. Once that starts to deteriorate and it weakens the HPA axis, then all of a sudden we have a release. We have too much release of the cortisol. We have too much going on. So what is cortisol? Well, cortisol is only released from the adrenals. And why sometimes cortisol can be a bad guy is because too much cortisol also can shrink the brain size. So if we look at it and we say, okay, well, there's the hippocampus, which is associated for learning, memories, and stress control, as I said, and then we have cortisol, and we have an abundance of cortisol, and it can actually shrink things. It shrinks the brain size. It actually loses the synaptic connections between that, and it actually can shrink the prefrontal cortex. And the prefrontal cortex regulates behavior. It regulates concentration. It regulates decision-making such as judgment and even social interactions. So if we look at things and we say, okay, well, you know, we have an abundance of cortisol, all of a sudden we're always stressed out. And the HPA axis, which is supposed to have the fluent connections back and forth to each other to tell us, well, if this is a stressor, then we make cortisol. If this is not a stressor, we don't need it. But if we're making that all the time and it's weakened, and the hippocampus can't do its job either, and the hypothalamus doesn't do its job, and it's just releasing cortisol after cortisol, well, then the brain shrinks. It's obvious, it's common sense, right, that our learning and our memory weaken, right? That's what mental fog is all about, right? We can't think, we can't concentrate. We go to read something and we'll read something and we don't retain it. Well, why are we not retaining it? Because the hippocampus and the prefrontal cortex is shrinking. It's not operating on its regular basis. You have the synaptic connections that are weakened. And so cortisol, as much as it is to help us in a fight or flight situation, could be a really bad guy. And this alone, if alone, cortisol could be responsible for so many different things. This stops the hippocampus from making brain cells even. So we must learn to take a step back and realize what is a stressor. If someone's attacking me, yes, that's a stressor. If someone's not attacking me, well, then it's not a stressor. If I have a paper due, why should I take that as I'm going to die? Or if I don't do this, my life is over. Why should I create that idea inside my brain so that those synaptic connections fire over and over every time I have a paper due? I'm going to stress out about it. What am I doing? I wonder why. I actually had a friend call me the other day and said, and she was like, well, you know what? She's like, I got this paper due. I always wait till the last minute, and I don't know what to do. And every time I try to write, every time I try to concentrate, I just can't think. and I laughed at her and I said, well, yeah, because you shut down your hippocampus. Your hippocampus is all about learning. It's all about the memories. And, you know, of course, your prefrontal cortex is all about your concentration. So if those two things are shrinking or shut down due to the obscene amount of cortisol, well, then what's going on? Of course. So I told her, I said, look, you got to stop, girl. You got to stop, relax, take a step back and just relax. Because what's going to happen is you're going to set yourself up for depression. You know, after stress happens, after a very stressful situation happens, you know, you could have, you know, a lot of people do go into depression. Why? Because it's such a rush of adrenaline. It's such a rush of excess in the body that when it finally comes down, the body is so drained. The body is so tired that it doesn't even want to do its job. And usually, oftentimes, depression is a cause of that. A depression is a cause of deficiency. It is a cause of overwork. It's a cause of overdoing something. It's a cause of overstress in the body. Many times when I'm stressed, it's because I have a perception that something isn't going to be done or something's not good enough or whatever the idea may be. And I guarantee you do too. And it creates this weird chain of events. And, you know, and you're going to set yourself up as well for trouble learning. Trouble learning is obviously, well, like I said, you know, if those two parts of the body, the cortex and the hippocampus, are having problems, you know, of course, if you cannot concentrate and you can't make decisions, how are you going to sit down and study something? How are you going to retain anything? Because your body is trying to recover. What's the number one job to the body? Is to maintain homeostasis, right? If we maintain homeostasis, then the body is good, right? That's its job. So the body is such a wonderful mechanism that what happens is it will do what it can to maintain that homeostasis, even if it means take you out of the equation, because the body needs to survive. It's going to survive. And, you know, with your mind and the way it's working, you're putting putting everything first before your body. And so the body has to fight back. It will send you into depression. It'll cause these symptoms. These are symptoms of signs of saying, hey, you're overworking me. You're overstressing me out. If you have trouble learning, if you're having brain fog, if you're having fatigue, chronic fatigue, stop. Stop and relax. Just chill. Just chill for a day. Just chill for 15 minutes. Take 15 minutes. If that's all you're going to give me, is relax. Because, you know, it's just not good for the body. And don't you love yourself? Don't you respect yourself enough to take breaks? I know that when I was younger, I had this idea. I'm a Capricorn. We're supposed to be queens in the mountains. We're supposed to go up on the mountain and rule the world. And, you know, I grew up in a very conservative family where, you know, where school was important. And of course, school is important, but education is important. And you got to push yourself and you got to do this, this, and this. Because if you don't get into college, then you're not going to do well. If you don't do this, you're not going to do well. And it's all about money. It's all about success. So much stress. So much stress. What about loving yourself? What about taking care of yourself? What about appreciating yourself first? Then worry about, well, and people say, well, you know, appreciation doesn't pay the electric bill. Appreciation. No, but if you don't have the appreciation for you, then you won't take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you miss work. You get sick more. You may miss that job, or you may not get hired for that project, or you may make a mistake that costs you the job because your brain and body is not functioning at optimal performance. So we must learn to de-stress. Because another stage of another thing that it sets up, and most people don't realize this, is Alzheimer's. Because the brain is shrinking, because the prefrontal cortex shrinks, the synaptic connections lose, and the hippocampus shrinks and deteriorates, this is Alzheimer's. Why do you think Alzheimer's has that loopiness where they don't remember stuff, where it's close to dementia, it's because this. Because the brain has shrunk, the brain has deteriorated, the synaptic connections are no longer moving. And so if you want to, I mean, you know, with the information that you have out there today, if you don't take a step back with the information that you have just in this show alone, from what I've told you already, just in the first 20 minutes, half hour of the show, should tell you already to take a step back. I know when I went to school, a lot of this scared me. You mean just from stressing out, it'll cause me adrenal, it'll cause me fatigue, it'll cause my brain to shrink, it'll cause me to go in depression, and years later I can set myself up for Alzheimer's? Well, that scared me. I was like, why do I want to do this? Why? And I thought about it. Why am I stressing myself out so much for other people? Because everybody else is stressed out. And when I became less stressed out, so did other people. You know, there was a study done that I forgot where it was at. I didn't have it in my notes, but there was a study done that showed that nurtured people that are nurtured when they're young, actually have less stress response and more cortisol receptors. That's important because you need a receptor for each thing of cortisol that's shot. And so non-nurtured people, it showed that had more stress responses and less cortisol receptors. So that means you had cortisol going all around the place, and that's why we're stressed. There's not enough receptors. You need a receptor for each stain of cortisol, just like diabetes needs insulin receptors for insulin, and that's why the sugar floats all around, because the insulin can't eat the sugar. And if you don't have those receptors inside of it, then what ends up happening is you got sugar all going through all the stuff, all the fluid inside your body, and that's diabetes. It destroys everything. So the same thing. And so it was amazing to show that when somebody is nurtured as a child and people are hugged and touched, and that they actually have less stress response and more cortisol receptors. I was adopted. I didn't have the touching. I didn't have the nurturing when I was a real young baby. And my whole life, I have a hard time with people touching me. I have a hard time with affection and communication that way. And I found it easily to get stressed about everything. And that. And even sometimes when people hug me, I notice my stress response is like, ding, 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 stress, stress, stress. Somebody's doing something that I don't like. And I have to learn. I have to tell my friends, all right, people, I have to learn how to hug you guys. I have to learn how to like shake hands and love you guys, tell you guys I care, because that is who I am. I'm very affectionate when I'm not in front of somebody. But that isn't that amazing? So, you know, stress can be accumulative. People don't realize that stress actually builds up in the body. So it's just like no matter what you're doing in your life, if you keep piling books or scrap in a room, you know, or let's just take a storage space and you're just dumping stuff to get it out of your house. Well, what happens to the storage space? It's the same with stress. Stress just doesn't go away. It's just like, oh, today's today. I'm going to stress about this and tomorrow happens and whatever I stressed about yesterday isn't there. No, it's still up there. The body fills up with stress. And that's why the brain can't shut down. For all you overthinkers that sit there and say, well, my brain doesn't shut off. When I go to bed at night, I don't shut off. Well, that's why, because stress has built up. The cognitive function in your what's going on is always on. And that's why, especially, how about when you go to lay down at night, don't those random thoughts come on right away? And they are random, right? You'll think about one second, you'll think about something happy. The next second, you'll think about something angry. Then the next second, you'll think about laundry. And then tomorrow's work project. And they're always going on and there's no focus. Well, what's the idea for focus? What's the idea for concentration? What's the prefrontal cortex? If that's shrinking, if that's not working, if the hippocampus isn't making brain cells and you can't learn and memory, well, look, we have a problem. So we look at this and we have to realize that this is accumulative. And once we understand that, then we need to start dumping some of this stress. So why is stress and the adrenal fatigue and mental exhaustion, why do they go hand in hand? It's because they all work in a communication area. So when I'm sitting there talking about stress, I'm also talking about adrenal fatigue. I'm also talking about mental exhaustion because you have an access that works in communication. Let's talk about adrenal fatigue. As we've already talked about, cortisol. We brought in and everything relates to cortisol and this idea, because what does the adrenal wake? What is the adrenal responsible for? The adrenal is responsible for cortisol. It's responsible for epinephrine, which is adrenaline, and it's responsible for norepinephrine, right, which converts into adrenaline. Cortisol, like I said, can be a bad guy. Why do I say it can be a bad guy besides the brain? Besides, we're going to step away from the brain and let's go lower to the lower part of the body. Why does cortisol be a bad guy? And I know you women are going to agree with me right away. It's because it's the number one thing that contributes to belly fat. Why are stressful people, have you ever noticed that stressful people are always have a tire or always have a muffin top or whatever you guys call it nowadays? That's because cortisol is responsible for that. Cortisol actually creates belly fat around your stomach as a survival mechanism. It's amazing, right? We'll be right back after these messages from the Life of Raina.
A message from the Life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190, and schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofraina@icloud.com.
cortisol can be a good guy. Cortisol, I'm not picking on poor old cortisol. I'm just saying, cortisol can be a good guy. Cortisol helps us in this stage of fight or flight. But when it is overused and it is not picked up, if it doesn't have enough receptors, if it is accumulating all over the body, well, then guess what? It's going to rot the brain. It's going to store belly fat because it needs to survive. The body thinks, the body's in the mind of thinking, oh, geez, we need to store fat. We need to store nutrients. We need to feed the organs. So why is it located around the midtime? Because the organs are there. In order for the organs to be fed, it needs the fat, it needs the nutrients. So it's going to store where it can protect the organs and where it can feed it. It's really amazing, right? I love, this is why I got into medicine, is because I love this stuff. I love to understand how the body works. And as much as we fault cortisol and say, oh man, it's such a hard thing to lose, when we're stressed, it is so hard to lose weight, especially down the mid-region. Or the mid-region, the region. I keep saying reason for some reason. But the mid-region, I'm doing it again. But the belly, I mean, that's the reason why it does it. So the organs need the nutrients, and the organs need the fat. And there's a thing called cytokines. Cytokines are these immune system chemicals. And basically, when there's an abundance for it due to stress, because once stress kicks in and the cortisol kicks in, they produce these cytokines. The cytokines are responsible for inflammation, and they also are responsible. You also find them in autoimmune diseases. These are disease risks. These are also popped up in heart and insulin resistant cases. But cytokines will cause damage to the belly. It'll cause damage to the thing because the body is creating this chaos in it. So this is why I said when you're trying to lose weight and you're stressed, anybody that has a tire, anybody that has a muffin top around them, this is why it's so hard. Your body is producing chemicals and hormones to keep it there, to keep it because it thinks it needs it for fight or flight. What happens in the old days when we're fight or flight? We have to take off. We don't have time to pack up and store food and everything. We have to use our body as a storage space. So when you get, that's why animals do the same thing. They store up, they fatten up, and then they can go for long periods of time. This is what our body was meant to do. Our body is meant to survive, but it's not meant to survive like this, and especially if we're not getting enough exercise and doing anything about it. The cortisol levels are lowest during your youth. And that's why you have a lot more energy. That's why you have a lot. You can sleep better. You can get up faster. You can do all these different things. And during the life, if you live a very stressful life, but even not a stressful life, it's highest during your adult and senior years. This is one of the reasons why as you're older, especially those people who are under chronic stress, under chronic fatigue, why it is so hard for them to get any energy is because they have exhausted their system going over and over, pumping all this cortisol. The body is just fatigued. And then, of course, we know as we get older, we start to age. The body doesn't function properly. But the levels when they're at the highest make it hardest to sleep. When this is so important to understand, because for those of us that are night owls, those of us that have trouble sleeping, we need the proper sleep. The proper sleep happens, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say, because this is very important. There is a thing called the circadian rhythm, and the circadian rhythm is your internal clock. And as I said, this plays such an important part in proper sleep, because as I said, when we're younger, our cortisol levels are low, and when we're higher, our cortisol levels are, when we're older, our cortisol levels are higher. But the circadian rhythm, it has a cycle when we're sleeping. Every 90 minutes, a cycle of four goes on. And during the deepest part of that sleep is when you burn the most fat. If you disturb the circadian rhythm, what happens is it's associated with things like obesity, diabetes, depression, mental fog, and poor concentration. Why? Because the body, what is going on when we sleep, when we're having these cycles? where our body is repairing itself, right? Our brain is going through the whole systems, doing a check system and repairing itself, sending hormones to the organs that's needed, and so if we're not sleeping, if we're stressed out, if we're working late at night, and we're overthinking, and we have all this cortisol, our mind can't shut down. We can't. This rhythm is so very important. We need this rhythm, the circadian rhythm, to happen throughout its. We need all four cycles to happen every 90 minutes. This has to happen in order for us to function properly. So adrenal problems happen when these type of things happen. When your circadian rhythm is messed up, you're going to have adrenal problems. And you know what one of the number one thing is when I can always tell when somebody has adrenal problems is they're irritable people. They are very, very irritable people. Everything in the world irritates them to death, and they are not tolerant of anything. Everyone's stupid, especially incompetent people. If they look at people, and I don't mean that the people actually are, but in their perception, because they're irritable, everybody is incompetent except them. And even if they are really incompetent, but they even get them mad even more. Slow drivers, people who don't think in their mind, people who make mistakes, people that are messy, people that have no order to anything, and people who are non-logical. These irritate people with adrenal problems. It all ties into this rhythm. Adrenal problems we can have it. You know, so if you wake up late at night, or one of those you can't sleep, or say like you wake up constantly and then you fall asleep at maybe 6 or 7 a.m. like right before. And I used to have that problem. If anybody. You know, if you talk to any of my friends, especially when I was in school, that's what would happen. I would wake up constantly throughout the night. I would always have this idea of trying to fall asleep, and I couldn't fall asleep till right about 6 or 7 in the morning. Then all of a sudden, bam, right when I had to go to school, right when I had to get up for work, that's when all of a sudden I would go to pass out. And sometimes I didn't get up because I was so tired, I just couldn't get up. And I was irritable. I was always irritable. And then I started thinking, wow, I'm irritable. I'm sleeping until 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm really having adrenal issues. I'm having, and these are the signs of it. So what's going on in my life? And my first thing was that I was stressed. And so we must take a look. We must learn to understand. We must take a look and take a step back, because our sleep is so important to us. You know, the cortisol it has an anti-inflammatory response that the adrenals control. If this does not take place, what ends up happening is we are going to be, along with that crankiness, that's when we start getting aches and pains. People that have adrenal fatigue. People that have that adrenal problems or stress and stuff often have chronic pain too. And that's because inflammation happens throughout the body due to this cycle being disrupted, due to the cytokines, due to everything going on in the body, the brain shrinking. I mean, this is the type of damage that stress does to our body. So some of the common health problems that you're going to see with people with stress and adrenal fatigue and mental exhaustion are people with low sodium and potassium levels. You know, you're going to see that their high blood pressure increases, their heart rate increases, they have hormone issues, they often have high cholesterol issues, digestive issues. As I said, cytokines are being produced, and that's everything's getting messed up down there. But often you have acid reflux. Yeah, and often what happens also is you know, you ever notice that people who are stressed look puffy? Yeah, well, that's because there's also body retention fluid too, especially in the lower part of the feet and legs. That is the key. I mean, you will look kind of puffy a little bit throughout the body, but if you look at their ankles and you look at that, and I'm not talking about diabetes swelling or kidney issue swelling like a kidney failure, but you'll see a little bit of swelling down there, but they kind of look puffy all over. And this is why people crave salt and chocolate when they have adrenal problems, is because they're looking for the sodium. They're looking for the potassium. And people who love acidic foods such as lemons, orange, sour apples, and grapes, things like that, things that are acidic, plant-based acids, you know, those things we crave because those acids actually help restore the adrenals. The body is calling for the potassium. The body's calling for the, it's calling for the acid to help boost the adrenals. The body needs that. Remember that sodium and potassium alone are electrolytes. You need those electrolytes. Those electrolytes help with muscle spasms, tension, like muscle tension and tightness. Your body feels weak? Well, that's because sodium and potassium levels are low. If your knees and thighs feel weak, it's because the same thing. Anytime your body feels weak and fatigued, it is because your sodium levels and potassium levels are deficient. You know, and I'm sure there's other electrolytes going on. This is one of the reasons why I'm such a big fan of Himalayan salt. Himalayan salt has over 72 trace minerals in it. And I make a little Himalayan salt sole to make sure, especially if I'm exercising, along with my regular diet, I'm constantly supplementing electrolytes. Electrolytes are huge. And every organ needs electrolytes in order, especially sodium and potassium. And I know a lot of people have been told and lied to for years that sodium is bad for you. Yes, table salt is bad for you with iodine in it. But sea salt is a little bit better, but you have to digest that. But Himalayan salt, you don't have to digest. It is instantly absorbed into the body and neutralized. It is used perfectly. So if you have weakness, if you have spasms, if you're having all this tightness, check your sodium and potassium. Also, you know, people with allergies are because of the adrenals. You know, remember, the adrenals are helping anti-inflammatory. The cortisol is helping anti-inflammatory. That's its job, is to take away inflammation, take away stress, and it's supposed to protect the allergies. So people who have adrenal problems often have a rise of allergies. They start seeing this all over their body, and this is what goes on. So the last 10 minutes I want to talk to you about, does adrenal fatigue really exist? Because I've sat here and talked about it for almost a straight hour about stress and adrenal fatigue and mental exhaustion and all these different ideas and what's going on in your body and where the errors are and what's not communicating. But I'm going to tell you that in my opinion, I don't think adrenal fatigue really exists. And actually, there's a small group of people in the alternative medicine field that actually kind of agree. Because if you look at it, the adrenals are not meant to give out. The adrenals aren't like the heart. They're not like the kidneys. They're not like some of the organs, the liver, that give out. The adrenals will never stop producing cortisol. They will never stop doing that. But what I think, and a lot of us that are on the same opinion on this, is the hypothalamus tells, since we have the HPA, the hypothalamus is supposed to tell the pituitary is supposed to send hormones down to the adrenals to tell the adrenals, hey, we need cortisol. If that communication, if the HPA communication is not happening, then it's not really an adrenal thing if the adrenals aren't getting the signal, because what does stress do, right? The stress shuts down the hippocampus, and it shuts down the hypothalamus, it shuts down the pituitary, it shrinks the brain, it shrinks the prefrontal cortex, right? So if the brain isn't communicating and sending its signals out, well, then how are the rest of the organs supposed to get the chemical messengers to tell it to go on or off? So in my mind, it makes sense that it's mostly a communication issue between the hippocampus and the pituitary, the hypothalamus and the pituitary. And so, you know, so I would look at it as, if I'm going to blame anyone and make them the bad guy, I would say that, you know, that it's possible that the hypothalamus and the pituitary are the bad guys. The adrenals are always going to make cortisol. But, you know, I really believe that's why I said that the circadian rhythm is so important, because if that rhythm is messed up, it interferes with the brain. It interferes with the hypothalamus, the the hippocampus, the pituitary gland, and all these different organs going on. They need that. The circadian rhythm is very important. If the circadian rhythm is messed up, the pineal gland cannot make the hormone melatonin. And we all know that melatonin helps put us to sleep. It is a chemical messenger that makes us tired. When we feel tired and we say, oh, it's time to go to bed, that's what's going on. That's melatonin. So how do we fix it? Well, as I've said throughout the show, take a step back and stop. Relax. You know, one of the most important things is to go to bed early and develop a time pattern. Develop a go to bed earlier or go to bed at the same time and get up earlier. When you get up, make sure that you turn on your lights right away. Make sure you open the shades. Get up out of bed. Don't hit the snooze button 500 times until you finally roll out of bed and decide, oh, I'm going to get up, because that is actually messing up the cortisol spikes. Because what happens is when you wake up, what wakes you up? You ever get those days where, or especially if you have stress and adrenal fatigue and stuff, you get those things at night. You get the spikes at night. That's one of the reasons why you can't go to bed. You're really tired, then you lay down and boom, and a shot of cortisol goes right through your body. Well, if you get on a rhythm and maybe take a little melatonin too. Yeah, you know, that's what I take. And I'm not telling you guys to take anything, but melatonin helps. And you know, you're going to have to be able to understand that the body needs to produce that. But in order for that to happen, you need to get into a cycle, because the body works in cycle. Turn off all electronics. Turn off the phone. Get rid of the computers. I actually moved my radio station and my computer system and everything into another room, because it used to be in my bedroom for a little bit, and it was causing great distractions because the EMFs actually disrupt hormone production. My body was so wired and so supercharged because I have all these EMFs going all over the place. And so electronics, turn off your phone. You don't need to be reading it, because reading your phone with that bright light actually stimulates production, and you won't be able to go to bed, because the body sees bright light. It thinks it's daytime. It thinks it needs to be up. It's being overstimulated, and you're not going to be it. If you have to read something or if you have to watch TV, lower the bed thing. You know, I'm going to run out of time here, so I'm not going to be able to say all the things that I wanted to, but what I'll do is I'll put it on my social media, because I only got a few minutes here, but I'll just go through a couple things really quick. But, you know, liver detox, milk thistle is great, because the liver reactivates cortisol. You know, cortisone is its inactive form. Cortisol, once it goes to the liver, it reactivates cortisol, so you need the liver. Milk thistle is a great product. It protects the cells. It really helps with a lot of different liver issues. And keep down the caffeine. Stop the caffeine. Keep it down. If you're going to drink a little caffeine, a little bit in the morning, maybe from a tea, stop with the coffee, stop with the high-energy drink. Learn to meditate, take breaks, and no extreme exercises. This is very important that you understand that there's no extreme exercises during adrenal fatigue and overstress, because your body's so deficient already that long, intense cardio, long, intense weight, long, intense anything, you know, what's the exercising that they do that's really popular? I forgot. It's like $100 a month. But anyway, that's too intense for people with adrenal fatigue. Don't be taking energy shots and then going to the gym, because all you're doing is exhausting your body that has a deficiency anymore. If you're a partier, stop partying. Stimulants such as like caffeine, alcohol, cocaine, stuff like that, you know, cause chronic stress. They cause cortisol to go up, but over pump again. You know, people who, you know, things, people that use corticosteroids and steroid-based supplements, you know, it suppresses the adrenals. So I want you, I'll post some of this stuff on my social media and on my website, because I kind of went through it really quick. But these are the type of things that you need to watch out for, and you need to understand what you're doing to your body. Because remember that nothing's more important than you. And the more you have, and unless you take care of yourself, you're always going to be stressed, and you're going to have adrenal fatigue and mental exhaustion. So make sure you take care of yourself. All right, everybody, that is tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and I forgot my paper, but I will try to win it. So if you want to follow us, you can follow us on our Facebook at facebook.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. You can follow me on my Facebook at facebook.com/The Life of Raina. Visit our website at soulandspiritguide.com and sign up for our newsletter to receive special gifts of hidden shows, VIP access, and special gifts from our guests, especially for next week. And if you want to email me and talk to me about the show or suggest anything, please, or have any questions, please email me at thelifeofraina@icloud.com. All right, everybody, I want you to have a good week, and I'm looking forward to the next show, and have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much.